From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben. We are here with our super producer, Noel Brown, and most importantly, here with you listening wherever you are, whatever you're doing, which now that I say it, Matt, creeps me out a little.
Yeah, they can hear everything you're saying.
Right, and we don't know what you guys are doing out there. Are you driving a car?
Oh, man, we shouldn't get into that. There could be some dark stuff.
Are you dragging a body-sized garbage bag behind you?
I can only imagine that something like that is happening, and we are just somehow manifesting it by even saying it.
Oh, yeah, let's put some positive stuff in there, too. Did you just finish running a mile faster than you ever thought you could, or a kilometer faster than you ever thought you could?
Congratulations on that.
Congratulations. Are you working out? Did you get to that last set? Are you dozing gently? Maybe drinking some booze, maybe having a cup of tea before.
Are you giving your dog the spring/summer shave right now? Is that what you're doing? Because you needed to have something while you were doing that?
Yeah. Are you on the way to a job interview that might be your dream job or something?
Well, hopefully you're not doing that and listening to this. Hopefully you're preparing mentally. Unless this is how you do that. Maybe it is. I don't know.
We don't know what the dream job is, but ladies and gentlemen, Matt, Noel, and I are here today looking for a little bit of levity here, wanting to be positive. And, you know, often humor can be a defense mechanism. I can't remember who said it, Matt, but you've heard that quotation before, that humor is tragedy with a scab. You know, or tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Gary Larson had one of my favorite quotes about humor, or the relationship between tragedy and humor, where he said, tragedy is when I cut my finger. Humor is when you walk into an open sewer and die. And he was being tongue in cheek, of course. Gary Larson is an amazing person. And I love The Far Side. But the reason we are looking for some of that levity is that today we're exploring a couple of interrelated subjects that are a matter of great debate across the planet.
Yes. And in this particular case, there's a lot of history and emotion that's bottled up in this subject. So, yeah, that's why we want you to be doing something happy. Please be doing something happy.
Well, I mean, hopefully not too happy, or not something you can only do once, because we don't want to ruin it for you. If you are a few footsteps away from the summit of Mount Everest, just turn on some cool mountain climbing music.
Yeah, if your wife is going into labor with your first child at this moment, take your headphones off right now.
Right, why are you wearing headphones? Come on, that's terrible. What we were talking about right now is an event that occurred 100 years ago this week. And put us in the mindset, maybe tell a little bit about it as a story, okay? So, as near as we can tell, in the modern day, around April 24th, 1915, the Ottoman Empire, which was already in decline, took action. For a while, they had suspected that one of their geopolitical rivals, one of their nemeses, Russia, was using the minority group of Armenian Christians in the empire as a clandestine force to work against the Ottoman Empire. And so they rounded up intellectuals, they rounded up statesmen, people of note, and by the end of this, and this is generally thought when it began, by the end of that time, an estimated 1.5 million Armenians living in the area were dead. in brutal ways. I mean, death marches, starvation, degradation, all the terrible things that could occur.
Yeah, there are some pretty horrifying images, even on the Wikipedia page of all places, if you look this this event up.
Now, we should say that this event, again, 100 years later, a century later, remains intensely divisive depending on what part of the world you are in. Around 20, maybe more than 20 now, countries have officially signed on to say that what occurred was a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
The many major world powers. Turkey, however, does not describe this as a genocide. And to look at why, what we're finding here is that despite this disagreement, neither side denies that hundreds of thousands of people died. It's more a conversation about whether this was what could be described as a genocide. And interestingly enough, this gives us a look at international relations, plenty of conspiracies, mm-hmm. because both sides believe that there is a conspiracy of some sort of foot behind the claim here. But before we get to all of that today, we need to ask ourselves what a genocide actually is.
Right. According to Raphael Lemkin, who actually coined the term genocide in 1944, the term comes from the Greek genos or genos, meaning race or kind, and side, C-I-D-E, which it means death. So literally, when you say genocide, you are saying killing a race or tribe.
Right, right. And as we pointed out in our earlier video on this, the term technically, the way it should be constructed would be genticide, G-E-N-T-I-C-I-D-E. But now genocide is the word we use today to mean this specific kind of crime.
Yeah, and it's not the first word that attempted to describe this occurrence. In the 1790s, there was a word, populicide, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that originated from the French Revolution, the idea of killing an entire – or the attempted killing of an entire population.
Mm-hmm. Right. We also know that Lemkin arrived at this after trying a couple of different words and ultimately understanding that he had to create something that people would know people would be able to recognize instantly that wasn't already with something else. And he has – he has a profound story because he worked, he was born in Poland, a lawyer, and he made it his life's work essentially to get this convention on the prevention and punishment of the crime of genocide. He wanted people to, he wanted nations to be able to prosecute this as a crime. And this is, of course, you know, at the close of World War II, mm-hmm. after the Holocaust. So which was, you know, by no means whatsoever the only genocide in human history, right?
No, it was just at this point someone is actually trying to put a label on it that
right.
that is truly representative of how horrifying it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that point of having to create a word to represent this horrific act, because there wasn't one. And you could say massacre, you could say all these other words, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't truly represent trying to wipe out an entire tribe and or race or, you know, group of people in that way.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. There is a difference, because if we look at the way Lemkin defines it, he says there's – and don't worry, guys, we're not going to spend – too much time just bogged down in the specifics and the semantics.
Well, this is interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some of what we have to talk about. So Lemkin keeps the emphasis of genocide on a group or a kind of a people, not necessarily a nation. And there's also intent. That's an important part. We mm-hmm. have a quotation from him here.
It is intended rather to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aimed at the destruction of essential foundations of the life of national groups with the aim of annihilating the groups themselves.
So this means that attacking a nation is not really going to be genocide automatically. He later clarified even further, I think in 1946 this occurs, he said that genocide should be known as a conspiracy to exterminate national, religious, or racial groups. So well, several of these things can fit in a box, but it's not a genocide unless the plan is to kill every person in that nation, mm-hmm. which you know, legally separates it from a different act of, you know, from a conventional act of war. The UN ultimately picked up on this, but they have a much more long-winded definition. So long, of course, that we refused to read it in our video because mm-hmm. we realized we could just throw it up on the screen. But we've got the quote here. Who wants to take it? You want to handle it or you want me to?
I think you knock it out.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Genocide is defined as any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, such as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. So we see some terrifying examples in these definitions already, because mm-hmm. we know, you know, the lost generation of Aboriginal children in Australia mm-hmm. sent away from their families, these different schools. In the U.S., when Native American children were sent off to these schools to teach them to assimilate.
Rwanda is a mm-hmm. pretty good example.
Yeah, the Rwanda Hutu Tutsi genocide. We also see that this doesn't necessarily – ending a group does not necessarily mean bussing everybody to a place and shooting them in the head. This could just be a generational thing where, you know, like their children are no longer part of this culture mm-hmm. because you could also kill the culture as well as yeah. the people. So with all that, that's the idea of genocide. And you'll hear people who say, you can find things online where people say that the events in the Ottoman Empire at that time were not a genocide. They argue that there are two different definitions of genocide. There's the one that you or I or Noel, like we, the common people, would recognize. And then there's the more nuanced legal version, which hinges upon intent. So with all that in mind, what happened in Armenia?
So here's the stuff you really need to know about the Armenian Massacre. It's also known as the Armenian Holocaust or Medz Yerghan, the Armenian Genocide, though it's not legally recognized as a genocide. The massacre began April 24th, 1915, about 100 years ago today. We've mentioned that a couple times. It's estimated that the deaths, like we said, range as high as 1.5 million, but that number varies depending on which side you're talking to, and even in certain historical accounts, mm-hmm. it may be, I think you said in the video, anywhere from 300,000 all the way up to 1.5 million.
Right, yes. And we see there's an argument here about whether there is a dearth or a lack of primary sources, documentary mm-hmm. evidence. However, we do know that shortly after the 1915 events, this stuff began to appear in the news, right?
Yes. So the people who were actually doing the killing were Turkish forces at the time, the Ottoman Empire, like you said. The big question here is why? why did this occur? Why would this happen? And you mentioned at the top that there was some suspicion within the Ottoman Empire that the, let's say, the Russian forces were attempting to somehow use this population against the empire. And that seems to be where it started.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to be fair, this is not an impossible thing. As we had also talked about, of course, one of the comparisons that you can make to clandestine groups, because what they're ultimately arguing, the Ottoman Empire is arguing here, is that Russia was using this population or members of this population as a clandestine force, pretty much a terrorist group, mm-hmm. right? Or at the very least espionage, and they were therefore a proxy. This is occurring today in other countries. You know, Iran has proxies in the Middle East. The U.S. has proxies in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia has proxies in the Middle East. There are proxies in other countries, of course. We know that during the escalation and the occurrence of the Vietnam War, the U.S. engaged Laotian groups to fight, and that itself could be an entire episode.
You're right, it is possible that it was happening, but I don't think it's possible that that number of people or that large of a percentage of a group of people could be working in that way. I'm certain that's not possible.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Would 1.5 million people be working in a conspiracy?
Even 100,000.
Maybe the idea was more that a small group would motivate we see a lot of coups begin as a move for independence,
yes.
Right?
Catalyst for a movement.
Right, yeah. Maybe it could be something like that. But here's the thing. Even today, the Turkish government says it's not a genocide. They're very sensitive about mm-hmm. it. Recently, Pope Francis caused a huge uproar when he described the Armenian events as a genocide, and did so, of course, because there is massive concern about people of the Christian faith in the Middle East at mm-hmm. this time, right? And This was a concern that Turkey will recall an ambassador away from your country if you mention this officially. The U.S. president, and not to get too political, but mm-hmm. these are just the facts, folks. Whichever side of political ideology you fall on, I'm being completely factual when I say that several U.S. presidents and political officials have, while they are running, said they were going to call this thing a genocide, to use the G word.
Yep.
And then when they are elected, they never do.
No.
Or they haven't yet, I guess, is the most fair way to say it. But why is this so sensitive? Turkey says that this is an attempt to attack their identity and history, is I believe the term they use. And maybe that means an attempt to weaken them in the international sphere. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe there would be reparations involved of some mm-hmm. sort. But they also say that the facts themselves have been twisted. Both sides of the group say that. Turkey says it cannot be a genocide because the intent is not there. Right? This is a
yes.
preservation of the state.
Yeah, preservation of the state and believing that they are fighting some kind of guerrilla army or in some way. That's how they're choosing to view it.
Right. And also the argument that the numbers of deaths are wildly inflated, that this is maybe 300,000, not 1.5 million, and that furthermore, both sides were fighting and more Muslims died than Armenian Christians. And it's strange because what we're finding is that although everyone on both sides admits that horrific events occurred and hundreds of thousands of people died, the question here is hinging on these small differences based on the definition that the UN and Lemkin gave. I was thinking about this earlier, and I'd like to hear your opinion on it, Matt, and you too, Neil. So, if we're thinking about atrocities that occurred in World War II, the deployment of nuclear weapons, right?
Mm-hmm.
First and only time that happened. Catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is still not considered a genocide, right? That's a genocide is a very specific type of crime, but it's also coupled with the internment of mm-hmm. Japanese, of American yeah, citizens yeah. of Japanese descent.
I would be interested in what the government would put forth as an official statement of intent if they were going to be sought to admit to genocide during those attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring it up for comparison and perspective. At this point, let's go ahead and talk about the conspiratorial ideas surrounding this, the whole genocide notion. So we've got one idea, which the Turkish government says, which is that this is an attack on Turkish society, essentially.
Yeah, and a tarnishing. They think it's a tarnishing of their history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Turkey is an enormously influential country in that area of the world right now. It's swinging above its weight class. It's the pivot between Europe and Asia, between the Muslim world, well, what's often called the Muslim world and what's often called the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, in many countries' opinion, a good country to be on good terms with.
Yes. And it has historically been that way, that region at least.
Right, the gateway to the East. Mm-hmm. So why would somebody be attacking it then? Would this be a move if what they're saying has any sand to it, would this be a move to weaken their sovereignty or hegemony?
Perhaps. I unfortunately can't answer that. Hmm. I don't know. I mean, it seems like that's what they perceive it to be. At
Cancer
least politically.
Yeah, guys, secret reveal here. In his other job, Matt is actually an attaché to the local Turkish consulate.
Yes. You got me.
And there's another subject here that is very sensitive, to say the least. The country of Israel, formed after World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are just the facts. Still negotiating borders.
Yep.
The official position of Israel is that it neither denies nor confirms whether the Armenian massacres were a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And for many observers, of course, that seems to be a strange thing,
right?
You know?
Because they experienced at least the worst genocide that I think we can currently cite, unless you maybe go back to treatment of Native Americans in the United States.
You know, that's an interesting question. I'd like to look back further into that. I found some fascinating stuff though about the expansion of Iran and into what I call the stands, you mm-hmm. know, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, all mm-hmm. those. And the only other country that officially also denies that this was a genocide mm-hmm. during the Ottoman Empire's time is Azerbaijan, mm-hmm. which shares a border with Iran. So how much of these calculations of staying on Turkey's good side are ultimately about the seething, invisible proxy war that is consuming the Middle East?
Yeah, that is a great question.
It's a question that, unfortunately, I don't know the answer to. But what we do know is that regardless of what sort of label people will put on it, at the very minimum, hundreds of thousands of people died. Civilians died. I'm sure there are very many soldiers as well. But, you know, children.
Yes.
Women. The elderly. Regular people died. Muslim as well as Christian. And, this is not actually the first, genocide in the 20th century. There are a couple of other arguable genocides, and if human behavior is any sort of precedent, more of these sorts of events will occur in the future. So,
unfortunately, Ben, I agree with you. More of this will happen in the future. It's what it means to be human. There are dark places that we go to. So anyway, all of that being said, this kind of thing, I think, needs to be at least recognized and remembered so that future generations don't forget these terrible things that have happened in our past and could happen if we are not vigilant, to make them stop. That's why I think even giving this type of event a name, such as genocide, is so important. I don't know. It's tough to even talk about this kind of subject, I think.
Right. It reminds me of some of the quotations that we always hear rephrased before, but somehow rarely followed. Those who do not understand the past are doomed to repeat it. But there is a little bit of light at the tunnel. Communications technology is allowing more people to be more transparent than ever before, right? And social media gets a bad rap, and often it deserves that, right? But the ability to communicate with one another across the globe could be something that goes a long way toward preventing these kind of things from occurring invisibly. You know what I mean?
We can only hope. So if you want to learn more, head on over to howstuffworks.com and check out the article, What Was the First Genocide in the 20th Century?
And as always, thank you so much for listening. For those of you who check out our YouTube series, thanks for sharing that and talking with us in the comments. I have to go right now and check out some of the comments on the Gaia hypothesis idea we just released. The concept that Earth itself is one gigantic living superorganism, which is not, spoiler alert, regarded as solid science by its detractors, but such a inspiring, even beautiful idea. So if you would like to suggest something that we should cover in the next few episodes, send us a note on Facebook, tweet to us. We're on both of those as Conspiracy Stuff HSW. You can also check out everything we have ever done on our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. And if you want to write to us directly, we have an email address and we'd love to hear from you. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit youtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.